I heard a while back about a rather mild-mannered semi-truck driver who stopped into a diner on the side of the road in West Texas. He ordered his chicken fried steak because really every diner better serve a good chicken fried steak. He had just tucked in to enjoy his steak when three motorcycles roared up to the curb. Two men and a woman dismounted, strutted into the diner with a menacing look on their faces, and fixed their attention like a laser beam on the mild-mannered man sitting at the counter. One of them walked up, grabbed his plate of chicken fried steak, and said in a testosterone-laced sneer, "I'll take that." The patrons of the diner braced themselves for a fight, but the man simply got up, nodded at the waitress, paid his bill, and left. Seeking to show off to the other customers and to the wait staff, the one man leaned over to his comrade and said, "Not much of a man, was he?" And the waitress leaned over the counter to him and said, "Honey, I don't know if he's much of a man, but I can tell you for sure he's not much of a driver. He just drove over three motorcycles on his way out." Sometimes things are truly not what they seem, are they? Holy Week starts off with a bang and ends with something so much more like a whimper. Nothing we will see this week will look anything like strength. Nothing that we will see from Palm Sunday on until Easter morning will look anything much like triumph. Not until Easter, not until the day of resurrection. Until then, between now and then, it will look only like weakness. Now, we have the advantage of knowing the end of the story before we begin, but for Jesus and for his disciples on Good Friday, there is nothing that they can see to leave them with that sprig of hope. It started off so well, or so it seemed, but we know things are not always what they seem. One person's triumphal entry is another person's gallows crawl. Strength is a funny thing. How do we define it? Is it physical strength? Is it wealth? Is it perhaps military might? If it's a military parade, we already know that Jesus has made a mockery of that. Military parades were no different then than they are now. You had charging war horses, you had swords, you had slaves in tow. However you define it, it's about showing strength. And here comes Jesus, clopping up the street on his donkey. You know, it's just one step up from having someone following around behind him, knocking two coconut halves together to emulate the sound of horses' hooves. But you know, Jesus was really never concerned with displays of power. Now, was he? If anything, Mark's gospel narrative presents us a picture of Jesus who is profoundly aware of the limitations of finite knowledge, seeking and preaching a kingdom of God that will, by definition, exceed his ability to describe or demonstrate it. When Jesus asks in Mark's gospel narrative whether or not the cup may pass from him as he anticipates the events of his trial and crucifixion, he seems genuinely not to know whether that is a possibility or not. He is faithful to his calling, even and especially all the way to the cross. But if you are looking for a gospel narrative to reinforce an image of rock-ribbed certainty in the face of coming suffering, there are better places to look than the Gospel of Mark. The kingdom moments in Mark are not cataclysmic reorderings of the cosmos. They are decidedly different. In Mark, the expression of the kingdom of God may be nothing more than the power of touch offered to those who are untouchable to redeem broken humanity. In Mark's gospel account, the pockets of the kingdom of God may be nothing more than the power of presence as it is mediated at table to those who are crooked entrepreneurs of daytime and nighttime enterprises, saying that nobody in the kingdom of God, nobody is better than anyone else, certainly not because of religious pretense. Kingdom moments in Mark's gospel narrative are when no name, no significance, little people see what God is doing and lean into it. And when they do, they emulate the calling of Jesus. Who knows what will happen? Certainly not the disciples. Possibly not even Jesus. In Mark's gospel narrative, we have a Christology from below, a version of Jesus who seems to grapple with the questions of faith, but follows resolutely his calling, no matter what, no matter what the cost. Now remember, we all know the end of the story. Mark's gospel account ends in ashes and rubble, but the resurrection is going to drive right over whatever definitions of power and strength we're burdened with. That's the sprig of hope. But for them, for those disciples, they didn't know any of that. The story's still being written. They don't know the ending yet. Now, perhaps it's my humanist inclinations, but I see in Jesus, in these moments as he nears the cross, the fullness of what it is to be human, to live for the other, to follow the calling of God, and in so doing, to work for the redemption of the world, again, no matter what the outcome, no matter what the cost. Now, you and I, we're invited to unburden ourselves in light of this knowledge, to unburden ourselves by taking up the cross of Jesus in the safety of already knowing the outcome. But even knowing the outcome, I dare say that for most of us, the thought of hauling around a cross isn't much of a display of strength. But the thing about hauling around the cross of Jesus is that it doesn't leave our hands available to haul around much of anything else. So whatever it is you're carrying today, why not drop it? Just put it down. Seriously, whatever is bothering you, just leave it. Like discarded palms at the foot of the cross, and pick up your own cross. That's the surest way to follow Jesus, to do what God is calling you to do, to live into the fullness of your humanity. Now, I imagine maybe you don't think you have the strength to go all the way to Golgotha with Jesus. None of us do. Strength is a funny thing. Madeline L'Engle said this, I think there are, in times of angst, we are given strength that we didn't know that we had. So I think we should not undercut ourselves because the strength will come. You see it with athletes. They push and push over the line to win the race. We all have more strength than we know that we have. But if we had it all the time, it would shatter us. So it only comes when we really need it. She concludes, in the times when we're not particularly suffering, we don't have enough time for God, we're too busy with other things, then the intense suffering comes and we can't be busy with other things, and that's when God comes into the equation. Help, she says. We should never be afraid of crying out, "Hosanna, I need all the help I can get." Strength is a funny thing. I don't know that many of us think of ourselves as having enough strength to be with Jesus all the way to Golgotha. But here's the thing. We don't have to. That was Jesus' calling. Ours is to follow, to pick up our cross and to follow him. And no, we won't go all the way to Golgotha, but that was never where the sprig of hope came from in the first place. Not that we go, but that for us and for our salvation, Jesus did. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.